This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في قرآنه العزيز بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم قل لن يصيبنا إلا ما كتب الله لنا هو مولانا وعلى الله فليتوكل المؤمنون. I commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Him, the Almighty, the Lord of all worlds, the Exalted, to shower His choicest of blessings and salutations upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, his family members, his companions, and all those who tread upon his path with utmost sincerity until the day of Qiyamah. My dear respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, first and foremost, I advise myself, I remind myself, and then all of you all present here to adopt a life of taqwa, and that is to be conscious of your Maker during every single second of your lives if you wish to attain success in this world as well as the hereafter. I would like to start off today's sermon by praying for our victims of the past few days. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises their ranks. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates their sufferings. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards them immensely for their losses. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them and their families with the best in this world as well as the hereafter. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, for today's sermon, inshallah, the few minutes that I have with you all, I want to touch on why these past few days, in the sense the events of the past few days, why do they happen or why did they happen? Through the light of the Quran and the Sunnah, through an Islamic perspective, maybe a few takeaway lessons and also what we as Muslims should do, inshallah ta'ala. Now obviously, most of us, our hearts are filled with fear, insecurity. We don't know what the future holds for us. And these questions arise. Why do these things happen to us? Why are these things happening in spite of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being our protector? Through an Islamic perspective, if we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see similar incidents. For example, if we were to take one of the most personal incidents, in terms of incidents, one of the most personal tragedies that shook the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if we were to take the incident where his own wife, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, was slandered, subhanallah. That incident shook the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it shook the companions, and what does our Maker at that point reveal unto Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The ayah that comes down at that juncture, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do not think of it, the incident, do not think of what happened as being شَرًّا لَكُمْ, as being bad for you. Do not think it as being bad for you. بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. But rather, it is good for you, subhanallah. Now this is the perspective that we as believers need to look at our day-to-day lives. We need to look at the world around us. We need to look at what's happening in our lives. This is the perspective that we need to look through, subhanallah. That whatever happens, there is a greater good. Whatever happens, there is a greater good. لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. Do not think of it as being bad for you, but rather it is good for you. From the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is good for you, O Muslimun, O believers. We, at a glance, we think of it as being bad at the outset of it. Yes, we are suffering. Yes, there are difficulties, but from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is bound to be goodness which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring about. And from the wisdoms, from the goodness that comes about from it, here are a few takeaway lessons. Number one, it brings about a sense of unity amidst us, subhanallah. And this is of utmost importance. It brings about a sense of unity amidst us. We may be a minority, but when incidents of this nature takes place, It brings about this awareness within us that we are there for one another. And we need to bring this in our lives. We look at the incident of Uhud. There was obviously defeat. We study in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ and we find out the main reason behind that was because there was no unity. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. In regards to Badr, in terms of Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that due to the lack of unity, that was why there was a loss. That was why the Muslims had to face defeat. On the other hand, when you look at Badr, because they were united, we're talking about the first incident or the first battle that the Muslims and in the sense the Ansar and the Muhajirun had to face together. But because there was unity, there was help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, my dear respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, this is, I would say, the most important takeaway lesson from these incidents, that it is high time that this serves as a wake-up call for all of us, where we wake up, we put aside our differences, even most of our theological differences, because all of that does not matter. We as a community, the scholars of the community, the professionals of the community, the leaders of the community, the politicians of the community, all of us, we have strengths, we have talents, we have abilities, and we are living within a democracy. So numbers speak. Numbers speak. If we do voice out within the system, we can bring out a change. But for this, unity is of utmost importance. We need to be united. We need to put aside the differences. We need to put aside the petty issues that we generally bicker about. Subhanallah. Even after all of what has been happening the past few days, we still have individuals amidst us pointing fingers, saying that this person is not doing this, this person is not doing that, this organization is not doing this, this organization is not doing that. No, we should unite. All of us, we have strengths, we have talents, we have abilities, we have the strength to address these issues. So we as a community, we need to do that. And most definitely, as Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. Do not be disheartened, do not grieve, do not be sad. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. You are going to be victorious if only you are believers. If you believe in Allah, you are definitely going to be from the victorious ones. And it is also from the wisdoms that it is through hardship of this nature, it is through crises of this nature that true leaders are born, the true heroes are born amidst our community. It's this hardship that propels things forward. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says that true leadership is only achieved through sacrifice and through hardship. Through sacrifice and through sabr, through patience. You look at the likes of Mahatma Gandhi, you look at the likes of Nelson Mandela, you look at the likes of Martin Luther King, you look at the likes of all these individuals today, they are celebrated as heroes. Today, they are celebrated as leaders. But during their times, they had to go through a struggle. They had to go through hardship to achieve that. So we as a community, we too need to go through hardships. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts us. Because at the end of the day, what do we believe in? Iman, six articles of faith. What is the sixth article of faith? We believe in qadr. We believe in destiny. This is part of our destiny as the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is Allah who is putting us through this destiny, and the one who put us through this destiny will give us the strength to overcome the obstacles. He will give us the strength to overcome the trials, to overcome the challenges. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he educates the Prophet, he educates the Sahaba, and by extension he is educating all of us. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Nothing will harm us. Nothing will disturb us. Nothing will afflict us. Illa ma kataba Allahu lana. Except that which Allah has decreed for us. This needs to be our slogan. This needs to be what we carry forward. We need to send this message to the world. We need to send this message outside, that we as believers, Nothing disturbs us. Nothing makes us waver. Our iman does not shake, but rather it becomes stronger. It is through hardships of this nature that we rediscover Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We become more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We turn to Allah, we plead. We plead unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our pleas become stronger. And we say that nothing disturbs us except that which Allah has written for us. Huwa maulana. He is my protector. He is our protector. Allah is our protector. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ And it is upon Allah that the believers place their trust in. Our tawakkul in Allah becomes stronger. And it should become stronger. It should. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Quran, وَإِذَا مَسَّ الْإِنسَانَ ضُرٌ دَعَانَ When hardship afflicts or touches man, then he starts calling unto us. Then Allah does not criticize that. Allah acknowledges that whenever mankind goes through hardship, he turns to us. But what Allah criticizes is that when the hardship is removed and when you are living a comfortable life, you should not forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is an opportunity for us to turn back to Allah. It is an opportunity for us to rediscover Allah. It is an opportunity for us to strengthen our relationship with Allah. It is an opportunity to make earnest dua unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is something that we as a community need to work towards in terms of what we are supposed to do. Number one, we need to strengthen our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, we shouldn't be ashamed in terms of our identity. We shouldn't be ashamed or afraid to identify ourselves as Muslims. Subhanallah, no. Don't think that now because of these incidents, I need to hide. I need to. Basically, in my workplace, I shouldn't identify myself as a Muslim. No, subhanallah. This is the time that you need to identify yourself as a Muslim. Obviously, in a way that is good, in a way that is positive. People should know that they should be surprised that despite all of what has gone through, all of what has happened, the Muslimun, they are strong in their faith. This is our faith. This is what we believe in, Islam. We shouldn't compromise. We shouldn't mince on our own rights. We as citizens of this country, we have rights. We need to educate ourselves about our rights. You need to sit down with perhaps your lawyers. You need to sit down with people who are aware of the law and educate yourselves in regards to the rights that you have as a citizen of a country that is under a democracy. So this is of utmost importance. Don't ever compromise your identity as a Muslim. It is from the wisdoms of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that sometimes a small number of us have to suffer for the greater good. Allah Azza wa Jal puts a small percentage of us through oppression, through difficulty, for a greater good. And obviously the small number that goes through, they are rewarded immensely by Allah. And what is the greater good? Even in this situation we see that good people, fair-minded people, their minds are open towards Islam. There is this curiosity that crops up. What's happening? Why are the Muslims being persecuted? Why are they going through difficulties? Why are all these issues happening? They open up, they read about Islam, and their minds open up towards Islam. Subhanallah. So this is one of the wisdoms. And even if their minds don't open up towards Islam, they join our ranks. Just like Abu Talib, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not embrace Islam, but he was in support during the oppression, during the boycott, during all of what the Muslimun went through during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because he felt it to be injustice. He felt, why can't they have the right to worship what they want to worship? Why are they being persecuted for that? He joined their ranks. So fair-minded people, righteous people, good people, their minds will be opened towards Islam, towards the beautiful teachings of Islam. Therefore, never ever compromise your identity as a Muslim. The third takeaway lesson in terms of what we need to be doing, we need to become more socially connected. And when I say socially connected, I don't mean on social media. I mean in real life. We need to get closer to our masajid. We are a minority, yes. But now we realize that as a minority, we need one another. We need one another. And for that, don't disconnect yourselves further within a minority by not coming to the masjid at all. You need to come to the masjid. You need to be part of the jama'ah, part of the overall crowd of Muslimun, so that we know what's happening between ourselves. We know what's happening to one another. We are connected primarily, and also in regards to our iman by coming to the masjid. Maybe you're feeling negative. Maybe you're feeling low. By coming to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're filled with courage. You're filled with bravery. You're filled with positivity given to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, as a community, we need to be united, like I said. And we need to work towards that unity in a progressive way. Not on WhatsApp groups and not on social media. Subhanallah. We need to be doing it in a proactive way. Whereas, like I said earlier, as a community, we unite and work towards a better future for this country, for ourselves, and for our children as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that a reality. Ameen. We have been instructed to keep the sermon short and concise as possible. Therefore, these were the few points that I wanted to share with you all. Once again, we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alleviates the sufferings of the victims. We pray for peace. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the situation peaceful within this country. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the perpetrators, the criminals, to justice. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposes their plots. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eases our affairs. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us strong and united as a community. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to work within the system, within the law. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us to adhere to the law and bring about a positive change for our community. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses the families of those who are suffering, of the victims. We pray that He blesses them with the best in this world as well as the next. We pray that Allah blesses them with high ranks. And overall, may Allah bless all of us, unite all of us. And just as how He unites us here in this masjid, may He unite us in the gardens of Jannah with our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Ameen. Wa akhir da'wa yani alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.